Middays with Marcus Maben on 93.9 The Ville is broadcasting live from the OPC Pest Services Studio. Now, here's Marcus Maben and Steve Rummage.
Welcome back. It's Midday with Marcus Maben, 81.50. 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. People were rolling along. Spring game was great. I'm glad people got out to it, too. I know there was a little bit of a buzz going around. Oh, you know, yeah. People, there was a lot more fans than was reported. Don't you hate when people go to the spring game and they try to take a picture like 15 minutes before the game actually starts and says, oh, look what it is. You don't tweet it out until yeah. kickoff and realize 7,000 people were out in the parking lot.
Yeah, no, it was a good crowd. Yeah.
No, yeah.
Everybody got out and did their thing.
I'm totally okay. Okay, so before we cut into a break, you and I were both kind of scouting out some of the visits. You just had they tweeted out the list. I don't know how comfortable I am with just the whole world knowing all our targets right now. What do you think, Steve?
No, I mean, that's life, man. That's recruiting.
Just throw it on out there, and this is who we're going after.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it is. So, I mean, look, now here's the thing. He's all over the 19 class right now, and let's talk about that for a second because you're starting to learn what Coach Mack likes. And I think that's an important thing because we got so accustomed to, we knew what Coach Pitino liked. We knew the type of player. We were like, oh, that's a Rick player. That's a Pitino player. You're starting to somewhat.
We knew when he was stepping out the box too.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're starting now to somewhat learn what Coach Mack likes. I like what he's looking at in 2019, man. I think the players, he's looking at guys that dunk the ball. I mean, like athletes that go after it. I'm loving, and he likes huge guards. That's becoming clear, too. I mean, multiple 6'6 guys.
Go back to the athletes.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, everybody likes athletes.
Yeah.
I don't see the dunking as much as I see the mentality.
Yeah. Of course, and that's what I mean. I mean, any of them could. Most of them can dunk the ball.
Right. And a lot of guys, you'll have a lack of competition leading to a lot of dunks, right?
Yeah.
But with this one, you know what else you see, people? You see those guys who don't care about missing the dunk, but they're trying it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like understand that there's a huge difference between a guy who's by himself and can windmill and can do all these crazy things and a guy who does a pivot move, you know, turns the corner with the intentions of dunking, even if he misses.
Absolutely.
Because you know what happens, people? These players, you get them in at Louisville.
Yep.
You get them in these good weight rooms. You get them in these good training programs. And these guys that were missing these dunks but were aggressively attacking, trying to dunk, you put like 7 inches on your vertical in your first 4 months of college working out. So everything you're seeing, you know, right now is going to be increased and have a lot more control.
Yeah.
And if you already got the aggression to attack and get fouled, I mean, think about it. That's probably our biggest gripe about this past season.
Absolutely.
Guys don't go through
the last few seasons.
Right. Guys do not make you pay for a pump fake.
Yeah.
You go into people. So, athlete, attack the basket guy, an IQ player.
Yeah.
You know, just looks like, you know, and it's another thing. I hate saying we talked about this, but guys who you can tell play a lot of, I don't want to say street ball, play a lot of American hungry ball, you know, like reputation style ball.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I mean, I'll go back to the big kid they're looking at. I can't even come up. He's
not Charles Bassey.
No, they're not. For some reason, that's an odd. I'm curious about that.
A joke about it, but I hope that joke's not the case.
Because it's like, right.
I mean, do you just check out people what we're talking about? Charles Bassey, Aspire Academy.
Yeah.
He's the best big man in the class.
And he's right here in the city.
Repeat, the best big man
number one big man in the country for 19 is here in Louisville. Is that one of those you just don't want to talk about it out loud? You want to just...
I mean, no, that's one of those where there feels like there's an obvious answer, but it's like... But I never want to accuse a kid or whatever of anything.
No, I don't want to think that there's something that's preventing Louisville from recruiting.
Yeah, right. And I mean, I hope that's not the case.
Right. I hope we're just not... I'm hoping that it's just so obvious that, yes, of course we're recruiting him, that we don't have to hear about.
But that doesn't seem to be the case. I mean, his coach sat in here the other day with Luke and Mark and said, Louisville's not recruiting him.
Yet.
It's an odd one. I don't know. And I'm not saying it's an odd one, like I'm not questioning Louisville. Like, that's an odd one. I don't think we want to recruit you. But regardless, I mean, hopefully there is.
You just ruined the day with that one.
I know, but I mean, like that one is that's a question we constantly get. I mean, that's a question we constantly get. So, but I like what he's going after. I really do. Now, as far as next year goes, he looks pretty intent on getting a grad guy. Now, he did throw it out there to 2018 Jordan Brown, 5-star kid from California.
Yep.
He threw in the call, so we'll see where that goes. The grad transfers, it looks like, have been narrowed down right now almost to he met with Chartouni Friday. Today, he's meeting with Wake Forest grad transfer.
And Chartouni, just so everybody's clear, yeah. Chartouni is the...
The Fordham kid.
Who is thinking about Marquette and Louisville, sounds like.
Marquette and Louisville.
I know people, right? Marquette. Louisville.
Yeah.
Sure problem.
Well, plenty of time sometimes.
Right.
Meeting today with Wake Forest.
I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you snuck that in there real snarkily. Like, if you don't come here, it's just because you're scared of competition.
Yeah, you're not going to play. Meeting today with Wake Forest, Keyshawn Woods.
Okay. Well,
grad transfer.
Okay, well, what are his stats, Steve?
He averaged 11 a game in the ACC.
And where's he coming from?
Wake Forest.
Steve. I don't know if I want a Wake Forest 11-point-a-game guy here at Louisville.
Well, see, here's my thing is I think anybody who averaged 11 in the ACC can play on my team.
People, Brian, pick up that microphone real quick. Or you don't have to pick it up, but you get the point.
It's hanging. It's all right.
I got a problem with Steve right now. And we're going to just cut off his mic. Not literally, but you get the point. For Steve to say, anybody averages 11 points can play on my team. I had the number one schedule in the nation. I averaged 11 points as a freshman with the number one schedule in the nation. And Steve sits in here on a daily basis. Oh, there's no way you can play on this team. And things like that. Right? Right? Like he, yeah, I told, yeah. I told Steve right that, now. That I could be top 15 in Louisville, and he was like, huh, is that it? And Steve is saying it's acceptable to just hands down bring in the 11-point-a-game ACC score.
Think Quentin Snyder was good last year?
I do.
He averaged right around 11 points a game, 10, yeah. 11 points.
And I would gladly take that as my backup. That's my point. Thank you, Brian.
I don't know, man. Oh. You know what I'm scared of? I'm scared of the guy who just comes in and really doesn't have it.
Well, that's the thing about the Wake Forest guy, though. You know he can do it in the ACC. You bring in this Zach Johnson guy who's coming in to visit today. He averaged 16 points for Florida Gulf Coast. You got to think that's going to take a hit when he comes to the ACC. Well, probably.
So was that ACC? Was that ACC averaged 11, or was it he averaged 11 for Wake Forest?
11 for Wake Forest. Now, Zach Johnson's the best player they're looking at. I will say that. He's good.
We agree.
Yeah, he's
no,
good.
No, I agree. I was just trying to make a point there.
No.
It's
he's good. That
no, it's fair for us to ask this question. You know, like, because here's the thing. Like, it's deflating when you bring a guy in that doesn't have it.
But that's always a possibility with grad transfers.
Right. Right. You know, and you say, like, maybe your team just sucked and you just – got a chance to get some buckets, you know, in some games.
I think for me, the biggest, give me Zach Johnson and anybody else, and I'll be okay.
Well, Zach, we're kind of counting on to be a starter, I would say.
No.
I don't know.
You don't think so?
I don't know.
I don't think Darius is coming off that spot.
No. I would say Zach Johnson at the two.
That's over VJ.
Right. Who? Yeah. Who you Brian Hall in here, venture people.
Start King at the three.
Okay. Well, I mean, either way, Wara, it's over Wara. You think you'll start over Wara?
Yeah, so I would say over Wara. Yeah. Zach Johnson over Wara. Bring Wara as the sixth man off the bench.
Okay. I don't know.
Just telling you. I know you want your shooting. I know why you're shaking your head, Marcus. You want the shooter.
That's a. What do you think?
No. Yeah, no, not for me.
No.
Not for me personally. But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, Coach Mack said he'll put the five best out there.
Here's the bottom line. Would he punish Ryan McMahon?
Why would that be punishing?
No, would Zach Johnson punish Ryan McMahon?
Probably.
You think so?
I don't know. I've seen Ryan D up. Like, I don't know.
Or Zach Johnson's a shooter, though, if you look at his percentages.
I think he's a scorer.
Yeah, I don't know, man. For me, he's more of a scorer.
He has that wiggle that can get to the basket.
Zach, you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he could shoot.
I don't think he's really a point guard, is what I'm trying to say.
Okay, yeah, and that, I can give you that. Yeah,
I think he's a scorer that could play the point.
I definitely can play the point. I mean, right. He played the point this year. I mean, he can play it, yeah. But, I mean, I get what Brian's saying, too. I mean,
and he can shoot.
It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting if they get him. I mean, it's a big couple days. So, I know it does sound like he's very interested. So.
He busts Griffin?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I thought I was ready for you to put off of the county, Steve.
But, no. Yeah, no. He's – but the thing is, I mean, it looks like he's wanting a couple grad guards, which I still find kind of surprising that he's not going after another big. Now, the Jordan Brown is a big, the five-star kid from 2018.
Yeah, but that, you can't not go for him.
I agree, Steve. We need one big at least.
I kind of feel that way, and I even ask him about that, and I get what he's saying. He played Wood at the four.
Why? You know how big Jordan Wara is.
I know. No, I get that.
BJ is legit 6'6.5".
So maybe what he's trying to do is he's trying to start Perry at the one, Johnson at the two, King at the three, Wara at the four, and then you got Enoch at the five.
Could be.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, think about it. We're out in public. See, we're out in the community, and people just keep saying
that leaves Malik Williams out.
They say big man, and I'm like, who has a better option than have a Malik high low, a Malik Enoch Lance high low?
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
I think you just worry that if you ran into a. But I mean, when I say this, there's not many teams have two dominant big men down low. I mean,
every team we play, we deal with two big man rotation.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, like when we deal with Purdue, like they're considered to be big.
Yeah,
they got two big men out.
That's true.
On that team.
You're not going to play too Wake many Ford, teams with two.
Virginia Tech, they have one big man and then one guy who acts as a big man. You know,
yeah,
who's probably 6'7".
Right. You're right. I'll give you that.
I think he's expecting more out of Lance Thomas than people think,
and that could be true, too.
Considering.
No, and here's the thing. Lance Thomas could have contributed as a guy who knows his role, but here's the thing, and this is, again, we always do our obligatory, conciliatory, this is not against David. But you did not have the control over Lance Thomas that a veteran coach has. Like, David Padgett cannot threaten you with, son, you'll never play anywhere.
Yeah.
If you ever shoot that shot again, you'll never play if you do. You're down there looking like a fool, you know, whatever it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can find the buttons if you're an experienced coach. Lance, you will never see the... You shoot that again, you might as well transfer because you won't be on my 0-4. I'll literally kick you off the team for insubordination if you shoot another air ball three-pointer.
Yeah, and I think you put Lance in at the oddest times.
Right.
Like the oddest times. Right. Like now, Lance.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But yeah. but again, we're talking about a Lance who still had the freshman energy, the freshman brain. Like, you want to harness that, you know what I'm saying? Not confuse that, right? And not giving him a three-pronged attack. Not say defense, rebound, run. Defense,
right.
Rebound, run. No, you know, swing. You know, like,
yeah.
You didn't even have to have Lance out there, you know, having the basketball in a possession. Like, you didn't need any of that, but that's an experienced part. Why can't you get 10 times more out of a Lance Thomas?
No, absolutely. I think you can. I think you can. And then, I mean, like I said, I mean, I will say this too. With the
Malik can play 30 minutes, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, that's absolutely. Absolutely.
Enoch can play 22 minutes.
So can Williams.
Easily. What? Yeah.
So can Malik, I think.
No, that's what I said. Malik can play 30 minutes.
Exactly. Yeah.
Malik can move.
You only Jordan need Lance Thomas Warren to give you 10 to 15 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Anybody that can shoot Dwayne free throws Sutton. Can pump. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, these are guys who can be taught to rebound, who can be emphasized to rebound at a different level. Think about it. I mean, honestly, Ray, like, some games Ray would have 11 rebounds, but you'd have Dwayne with 13 and, yeah. You know, like 9 and 7. You know, like, you can get rebounds.
Well, I think there's an interesting dynamic, too.
See,
with
Villanova?
Yeah, well, they
didn't
that's
need,
true.
They didn't need Honest Mahmoud to have a rebound?
Yeah, no, yeah, absolutely. He wouldn't have played at all. no, but
you don't think he would have played for Villanova?
No. No, not a second. Why are you looking at me like that's even we're about to have a conversation about that? No. But I do think I think he's also being careful because you want to keep one of those scholarships open. No, absolutely not. For the Asheville kid. So I think you want him to. He's a set out, but I think his team can use a set out.
Asheville has given Louisville Marcus Maben.
Right.
Dwayne Sutton.
Yep.
He's going to give us another transfer.
Hopefully. I say all this to basically
back
say,
to the point of the big man. I mean, you think it's okay to pick up guards without the big man. I mean, I understand what you're saying. We've been overly comfortable with our big man depth. So when our depth goes from 5 huge big men to 3, you're like, oh,
yeah.
Oh, we're losing.
We're just not used to that.
Right.
Yeah, but like I said, he was a number one seed last year with Trayvon Blewett playing the 4. Blue is 6'5".
I was going to say, is he 6'5"? I mean, yeah, is he Dwayne Sutton's height?
No. Probably maybe around the same size. I mean, so, like, it can be done. I mean, so, I don't know. I'm excited to see. I like what he's going after. I like the players he's going after. I like the type of kid he's going after. I think we're going to enjoy his recruiting tactics. Like I said, he's going after guys that I mean, basically go after it. So it's gonna be something to watch. But I think he's got a good plan. But every day that goes past, there is a piece of me that's like, all right, now let's go ahead and get one of these guys.
Yeah, you got to close the deal.
Yeah, yeah, like,
yeah. Because if you musical chair me,
yeah.
And leave me out, in the, boy, a big confidence hit.
Yeah,
you don't and getting and Miami's looking at. Your guy.
Zach Johnson.
Zach Johnson.
He's from Miami.
So if you lose a recruit to Miami, which is unfair, but if you lose a grad transfer to Miami.
Yeah.
And then lose another one to Marquette.
Yeah.
And then lose a, you know, and lose a Brown to, you know, whoever. And then you say you're not recruiting Bassey. You know what I'm saying? It's like.
Yeah, it's like the biggest thing they need is in the next week or two to get a guy. Somebody. Zach Johnson would be huge.
But you don't want mistakes, though.
I know.
Yeah, see, yeah, that's yeah. The like, thing. Like, I don't want to, you know, I don't want the mistakes.
But you can swing and miss on a grad guy easier than you can swing and miss on a freshman. I don't want a mistake so. Freshman.
Why? Just because of the built-in excuse of freshman?
You're stuck with them. Grad guy, you got 1 year. You're gone.
You stuck with them. I don't know. Rick wasn't stuck with
them. Well, yeah, I mean, you're not technically stuck with them, but I mean,
Rick can run right on out of here, son. Bring your mom in, bring your dad down, tell everybody to their face.
Yeah, it's just, you're not going to play.
Do you have professional aspirations? Well, it's not going
to
be here.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so I don't know. I think it's interesting to see what he's doing, though. I don't mind it. I say go just close some over the next 3 weeks. That's what I'd like to see.
Is he?
Get a commitment in April or early May.
He got to put some guys in the league.
Who? He ain't even coached a game yet here.
He has to put, physically put Jordan or Malik in the league.
Okay. I'm okay now. With that. I'm okay with that.
Right now.
Okay. We'll see.
I don't, listen, don't turn into the process. Yeah, I can hear you now. Hey, back in the process. No, you get grad transfers because we got no time for the process.
I will say Donovan, Terry, those guys are putting a little more pressure.
Thank you.
On you saying, hey.
You knew where I was going with that, Steve,
Louisville
right?
Louisville knew exactly where
I was going with that one, right?
You're turning on the playoff games and you're seeing a lot of Louisville guys now. It's like.
Okay. B-Hall, were you more impressed with Donovan or Terry Rozier?
Terry Rozier, actually. I mean, Donovan put up a hell of a performance.
8150 93.9. 38-31, 93.9 is the text line. 38-31, 93.9 is the text line. Were you more impressed with Donovan Mitchell or Terry Rozier? Brian?
I mean, it's hard to say anything against Donovan Mitchell. I mean, the guy put up 27 points and 10 rebounds, and nobody's done that since LeBron James in 2006.
Well, what was that stat again?
Do I know?
Say it again.
He put up 27 points and 10 rebounds. It's the first time somebody has done that in their NBA playoff debut since LeBron James in 2006.
So here's the problem.
That's good, right?
Yes, Steve. What do you think, Steve?
Who was I more impressed by? Donovan. I know Terry hit the step back on Eric Bledsoe.
He ran point for the Celtics.
I know.
Against Celtics Milwaukee.
They did. But Donovan looks dominant.
Terry took it to
the first
people act like Terry just hit one shot.
I know, yeah. No,
he worked Eric Bledsoe.
What did Terry have? 23?
D up Bledsoe.
Yeah. I'm blown away by that. Donovan, though, he looked like the best player on the floor on a court that had Russell Westbrook, Paul George. I mean, there's a lot of players.
Okay, so here's what happens. I don't want to get worked up. I'm going to cut you off on this. I'll give you some time to, you know, re-rack that one. I come in here and Coop, you know, Coop's in here. Ben Simmons is definitely going to win. You know, I'm like, he looked good. You know, and I was like, but Miami sucks. Right?
Yeah.
And I didn't know if that was me just turned into Mr. Hater guy, right? Miami looked terrible, right? And then I thought about it. And I was like, why did it seem like Ben Simmons was such an explosive? You know what I realized? If Donovan Mitchell has the same game at home that he just had in Oklahoma City, he is the they're damn near talking about him for the MVP of the league.
I know.
Right? That 27-10 was awesome. Right?
Yeah.
It was awesome. But every time he scores, you get the,
Yeah.
Oh. When he gets that drop back, goes dunking on people, you know what I'm saying? Utah's rocking. You know, maybe you needed like that performance on a Saturday night or something. I mean, what's the problem?
Right.
Like that level of game in a opener.
He was good. I mean, he looked, like I said, Terry had a great game. Donovan looked dominant. Like, I mean, that's just kind of the difference. Now, again, Terry's really good since he's became the starter. Like, I mean, so I'm not counting Terry out. Because when Terry got drafted, I remember telling my friend, I said, Terry's what we've all been waiting for. And it never really, like, you seen flashes.
Worked his way right on through.
Yeah, but it wasn't like I thought he would do an immediate. I thought Terry was going to, a different game, obviously, but kind of be Donovan-esque, like being the rookie of the year conversation early and stuff. It took a little longer.
Because he just ended up in a place that had 10 guards.
Yeah, exactly.
That was it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, so, but he's worked his way up to now where he's a starter. Terry won't come off many more
Terry
benches.
Terry Rozier sponged Kyrie Irving dry.
Yeah.
People, you look at Terry Rozier, you can see the DNA of Kyrie Irving right there. So you know what that means? That means Kyrie Irving is working him whenever they're playing one-on-one, right? And you know what? Terry's losing,
right?
But at first he was losing 8-4.
Yeah.
Now he's losing in what are they going, deuces. Now he's losing 16-15 or, you know, 16-14, 18-16, right? Like, you can see his whole development, like, right in front of your eyes. And you know what I saw on Twitter? Louisville fans having a good time with this one, right? Louisville fans watching Terry Rozier drop Bledsoe, pull back, give him a little bit of pause, just a little basketball psychological pause, bust that tray ball, right? Louisville fans had a good time with that one, right?
We did. Yep.
Know what I heard somebody local, or what I saw somebody local put?
Oh, well, Bledsoe's making $40 million.
What? That came from it actually turned into he's making a lot of money. And I was like, that's just so UK.
Yeah.
That's just, I've never seen a comment more UK than Bledsoe's making $40 million. Well, that's the perfect cow.
Well, Terry's under a capped rookie agreement right now.
in his contract year.
Yeah. Yeah, this is his contract.
Right?
Yeah.
But just isn't that so entitled UK supporter kind of comp? You know what I'm saying? Just like, I mean, wait till I find out where that came from. I mean, just, you know, just like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
We're in the playoffs. Nobody talks about money in a playoff.
40, 15 million, whatever, man, didn't do you a lot of help when you're standing there with your pants around your ankles in the middle of the lane. Like,
in the playoffs, Steve.
I mean, he, think about this. He didn't even attempt to close out.
He just gave up.
He let Don, or he let on
a game
Terry
winner
set his feet. Like, it was like, dang.
There's nothing I can do about that.
And like, I'm not even making there fun of Bledsoe. There
was
like,
seven and saying, a half to 8 feet of separation in a one-on-one.
You know,
move.
You just got. You're like, eh.
And
hope you miss.
And do you know why it worked? You know why that move worked?
Yeah, because he went around him all game.
No, he caught Bledsoe taking a peek, looking at the screen. Mm-hmm. He was dribbling, waiting for Bledsoe to peek for that screen.
Yeah.
You go back and look
at
that.
Yeah.
The moment he peeks up, he does that dive. He wasn't going to go around him. Terry knew he was hitting this step back, or he was going to take this step back. When the clock was at, you know, 10.
I know.
He knew exactly. Well, and I'm telling you, when you're there, you're hot.
And a tie game, too, man. It takes some stones to dive back behind the three-point right. line.
I'm not even going to the
basket. Any shot wins it there.
Listen, and he didn't even have to step back all the way behind the three-point line.
That's what I'm saying.
He could have stepped a comfortable step back pull up, but I want the full 3 points on this pump.
That was rough, man.
That
hurts the ego.
That
dude.
Is shaker.
There's
height.
Players quit. There's players quit after stuff like that.
Didn't we have Rozier on our show?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we sat down with him.
Of course we did.
It was good stuff.
Shaker Heights, very young.
Well, Middays with Marcus Maven, where the players come. The players come to talk.
I'm a like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. The players first.
Players first.
Darren, thanks for joining us on the Escorting Collision Center Hotline, my man. What's on your mind?
Hey, I'll be quick, guys. Black and red till I'm dead. But the way I took it, Bledsoe-Rozier thing, I think Rozier showed Eric Bledsoe how to complete an algebra 3 problem.
Knew that was coming.
Right.
that Butch Lamar thing, golly, come on, Butch. He ain't that arrogant. But,
No, Darren, you have to admit that Kentucky had to go out and get them something comparable to what Louisville has been doing with this Lamar Jackson.
Oh, absolutely. I just thought it was funny when Butch said we win our usual game to make it back to a bowl game. Boy, how's that for some the roof is the ceiling, so to speak, Michael Jordan talk. But, hey, Marcus, real quick, I got about four people here at my house, and two of us can't see. But every time Steve was teasing us with the 2019, give us a few little names on that front, Steve, because you're killing us, man.
That's fair. That's
appreciate
fair.
It. Yeah, that's good input.
Yeah. I mean,
you got that list in front of you, Steve?
Yeah, I do. I mean, look. He's seen Cole Anthony, who was a 5-star kid. It's Greg Anthony's son. The kid I love is the kid I sent you the video, I tweeted out, the big Irish kid. He's Irish.
Didn't see that coming?
I did not see that coming.
Why not, Steve?
He's a 6'11 black guy with dreads. He was like, he's from Ireland. He's like, get out of here. You're not from Ireland. That's bull crap. That dude must be 42 years old. But I sent you the video. I mean, hey.
You didn't see that coming, Steve.
Yeah. No,
he got a passport early.
He started playing ball 4 years ago.
You believe that?
When he was 27.
Right.
Regardless, I want him. His name's Aiden. I'm not even going to try.
Aiden McCardinal.
I'm not even going to try. Anthony Harris, they went and seen. Justin Moore, I think that's a good one. That's one that Pegues is in on from DeMatha.
Anybody from DeMatha rocks out.
Couple more. Greg Gant, another one I love. Big wing guy, 2019. Josh Nickelberry.
Big wing.
Josiah James. Big names, man. They're going in and seeing. And I can't remember the kid's name, but they got some kid in Texas they're looking at. 6'6 combo guard. I like what Mac's doing, man. I don't think he's recruiting anybody under 6'4.
I don't know. You get one. You get one, Jalen.
You may get one. Yeah, but you may get one that's like a tough, tough kid.
I hope Darius is in the lab.
He better be. I mean, I think Mac is making that clear. I'm going after grad transfer point guards. And in 2019, I'm recruiting a ton of guards. If he's not in the lab, then you're the only person you're going to have to blame is yourself. Because you're getting it shown to you what he wants.
Before we get to a break, I got to ask you a question. It made the news rounds. We're obligated by Louisville basketball contractual standards. Rick's going to Siena.
He says he's not.
He's obvious now. Okay, what do you make of it? Is this a Rick camp thing? Is this a Siena camp thing? What tell people what was the first thing that I noticed about the entire article that Rick Pitino is being considered by Siena? Like, tell people exactly how I consumed that information. Because this is how tainted some local, publications and sources have made me.
Said he was smiling. In the picture.
Think about that, people. Yeah. I saw an article that said Rick Pitino or Siena's considering Rick Pitino or Rick Pitino is considering Siena. The only thing I could see is that it was a picture of Rick Pitino smiling.
Yeah.
I've seen that one other time.
Yeah.
When he was sitting next to Ray Spalding.
Right.
At the game. No media publication, no media outlets have put a picture in the last 6 months, the last year and a half.
Yeah.
Now that I think about it, that he looks virile, smiling, healthy, dark hair, like nobody thinks a good picture of Rick is a good selling job, except for the Siena picture, I think.
Well, yeah, but to be fair, it was a Siena writer.
I was going to bring it on home, Steve.
Yeah, it's a Siena writer, which goes to show you. But see, that shows me when you see these publications put pictures of him looking off the chain.
Right.
There's reasons behind it.
Right. Right. Now, that's one thing I was kind of trained to hear at the end of the story when somebody goes,
Yeah.
That matters, people.
Absolutely.
Like, Steve and I make sure we put those in there on purpose to let you know that you should, even if we can't talk about it,
yeah.
or if we don't have time to talk about it, you should think about it extra.
Yeah.
A smiling picture means it probably came from the Siena side of things. Right?
And it did.
Right.
So that wasn't even a problem.
Right, right. A good for our self-esteem that we can, we can turn down a Rick Pitino.
Absolutely.
But like Siena, that's kudos to a school who can still say we can either take him or we're in the door or we're considering, Coach Pitino. You know what I'm saying? Even if it's true or not. I think it's a good look for Coach Pitino too.
Yeah.
Anytime you put a picture of him smile. He's got to laugh more.
I think so. I think he also needs to take a job if it's offered.
Sell himself short. Or
right now.
But at some point you have to sit out.
Or just set out.
Yeah.
Like, I think his best move is set this year out.
So that's why I'm glad you came around that, because when you said just take a job, I'm thinking, no, don't just take a job.
No, if he's wanting to be in coaching this year, though, he needs to go ahead and take a job. But no, I think, you know, if you set out, because there's going to be a team that's going to come along that's going to go, man, we need a coach.
Yes.
We need a guy.
Something's going to happen.
I don't care what Rick did.
Yeah, something's going to happen.
Rhode Island would have been good. That would have been a good one.
York too.
Yeah, that would have been a good one if they would have taken it.
Isn't it ironic? Here's the irony. Here's the ultimate disgusting irony. You bring in Rick to clean up your program, right?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that just fascinating? Like Baylor should bring him in to actually clean. Not Baylor, but you get the point,
right?
Like,
no, I know
like
what you're
like
saying.
Like teams that didn't had a knock.
Yeah,
SMU.
Nah, he don't need. That's the thing, though, man. Like, wait around just on the right job,
right?
Because
that's my thing. I don't want to see.
What if you wait and Chris Mullins gets fired at St. John's? Then you're in a monster,
and
now
they
we're all going. Ugh.
Listen, at St. John's, don't care.
No, there is Rick, nobody in college basketball wants Rick Pitino at St. John's.
right. They do not want him picking the five boroughs.
Rick Pitino at St. John's would be dangerous. Yeah. Yeah, the five. Right.
Right. Him and Marcy.
Because he's cleaning up in New York. Kids aren't leaving New York.
The city. Not. He's not even going to state tournament.
No, this is a Kentucky, New York thing. When I say New York, I mean New York City.
New York City. Yeah. Quick commercial break. Think we're going to have an interview. Good interview. Good post-game interview on the second half. Midday with Marcus Maybin, 81.50. 93.9 is the number on 93.9 DeVille.
Middays with Marcus Maybin on 93.9 The Ville is broadcasting live from the OPC Pest Services studio. Now, here's Marcus Maybin and Steve Rummage.
Welcome back. It's Midday with Marcus Maybin, 81.50. 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station, people. Let that roll. Let that roll in the background a little bit. Because this is like... This is the end of the movie. This is the thank you moment. This is the we won moment. And the we won walk-off moment is where I get to thank, you know, our sponsors. I get to thank our friends. I get to thank DFH. I get to thank OPC Pest Services. I get to thank Bill Edscorns & Sons Collision Centers, people family owned and operated for 70 years. Edscorns is the leader in auto repair technology and technician training. People, don't just let anyone repair your vehicle. It's your choice. Tell your insurance company, take your vehicle to Bill Edscorns & Sons Collision Centers. Two locations, Bardstown Road and Shelbyville Road in Middletown. Call us. 491-BODY, 491-BODY, or visit us at etscorns.com, etscorns. People, this is too much fun. I'm going to make sure I put that Bobby Petrino post-spring game press conference on the back end. Brian Hall did an excellent job. Steve left early, people. Guess why? Because he's being cheap. He didn't want to pay for parking. Steve, just put the money. Does Steve realize that if one lunch he decided just to go home and put that money towards parking, one meal for Steve would cover his parking
for the rest of the week,
for the entire week.
Steve,
one meal without the soda, Brian.
Yeah, or the McDonald's before when he comes in. I mean,
or the breakfast.
One of them.
One of them will cover his entire weekly parking. But no, Steve would rather complain every single day and complain and leave the show early. Although we were on the wrap-up.
Have his breakfast burrito and his apple pies, you know?
No, he really does. No, but it's okay because then after lunch he has to go somewhere else, and then and him and the beautiful, lovely Charity Rummage, they got to go to Cattleman's.
Yeah, because we get free food here almost every day, and then all of a sudden he's like, "Oh no, I'll just pick up something on the
and
way
guess
home.
What? All I'm that is
free food right here,
parking.
Man.
And you know what? Here's the thing: everybody in this studio, people, has had a week or a couple of weeks where they say, "Oh, I'm on a diet. Not gonna take the blah blah blah." Yeah, and that lasts about no time. Joe Kelly brings that he brings that brisket in. Those diets go out the window immediately. You bring that tumbleweed. You go to MrDelivery.com. Phil Baker brings in that pizza.
We got Witch Wednesday.
We got Witch Wednesday. I mean, we got the Penn Stations and those diets. I mean, people, this studio is a diet killer. And Steve Rummage finds the way to say, "No, I'm not in the mood for that. I'd just rather go spend my weekly money in parking when we got free food here." If that's not the epitome of bougie Shepherdsville, Steve, I don't know what is, people. One more thing I gotta say this. We were gonna use our show conversation about Globe Auto Sales in our commercial, but I'm getting a little too emotional talking about because they're so good. Right? People, Globe Auto Sales is a Carfax Advantage dealer. Large selection, nicest pre-owned vehicles. That's a fact. The financing for everyone, that's a fact. Don't settle for the buy here, pay here when you can come to Globe Auto Sales, pick from the nicest pre-owned cars. Don't fall for the trick, people. You see the lot, you go on the lot, see if they'll work with you. It's out on Bardstown Road. Globe Auto, just look for it. You'll see the big globe. It's a fact. You should definitely give it a try. The financing there will help you reestablish your credit in a year. And they work with you. I thought they were hooking me up, people. How arrogant was that? I thought they were giving me a Marcus Maven discount. And then the next guy got the same price. And then the next guy got the same price. And then I'm saying, we can work. This is a nice spot to be at. So don't be surprised, people, if you see your boy Maven rolling a little something real soon. Midday with Marcus Maven. Brian Hall, I appreciate it. Again, always, people, it's 3831-939 for the text line, and it's 8150-939 to be a part of the show. Brian Hall, take it away on 939.
There, I enjoyed it. You know, we got a lot to work on. There's no question about that. But I saw a lot of good things out there on the field, too. It's always good to stand out there and listen to the players and watch how quickly they get lined up and how much communication, both positive and negative, things that we've got to do better. You know, I didn't like the early turnovers by Juwan. I think on the one play that the running back clamped down on the ball. And in practice, we don't dive on the ball. So he needs to understand this was not practice, and he needs to dive on the football. And, you know, he'll learn from that. There's no question about that. But, you know, I thought the red team in the second half took control, made some big plays. You know, Dez did a really nice job with catching the football, going and getting the football. He just can adjust his body so well that you need to get the ball close to him, and he can go make plays and catch the ball. I did really like what I saw from Malik Cunningham. He's going to be a real explosive player. I did like the way he threw the ball early in the game, too, in the first part of the game. So defensively, you know, I thought he did a really nice job out there, and he was running the show and making the calls and taking charge. And then it was a really nice interception by Rush Yeast. But P.J. Banasore did a nice job, played really well out there. But we'll have to watch the video and see. But overall, it was a good spring. I thought we got better during the spring football. And now we've got to come back and finish our grades, do a great job academically here. The semester ends very quickly. And then guys will get a little bit of break. Most of our guys will go home for parts of May. A lot of guys will stay here and continue to take classes you know, work out, but we'll get started up as a group with everybody and the new guys. You used to say June, but we actually start our second summer school session May 29th this year, which is really early and really quick, you know. And some guys, we have to make sure we can get them graduated by that time. But like I said, overall, I like the spring. I do know we got a long way to go and certainly to get ready for that first game. So with that, I'll just open up for questions.
What do you want to see from Juwan in terms of leadership in the huddle, pacing, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I think he really needs to understand the difference between practice and a game, and that's why tonight was really important. You know, one example that really stood out was in college football right now, when you make a big play, that 40 seconds clock starts, and it's the quarterback's job to get everyone down to the football and, you know, sprint them down, move them down, push them down so you can get lined up and still have time on the clock so you're not behind it. You're not able to substitute when you have big yards and big gains. So he needed to do a better job of that. There's no question about that. I really liked the way he played in the second half. I thought the first half gave him a lot of experience. You could see his competitive spirit come out. You know, he wasn't happy with the interception, wasn't happy with the fumble. So what he did about it was just compete harder and try to execute better. You know, the post route at the end with touchdown to Dez was probably as good a post route that he's thrown this spring. You know, threw it right on a line, hit him in stride, and we can win games with throws like that.
I thought he was very intent on getting rid of the ball almost immediately. Is that the strategy going forward, or is that just something
It was in the first part of the game out there today. You know, we felt like we didn't want to let Grenard get going in the pass rush. We felt like a tight end, Mickey, could get open quick. We had some real good, easy, quick throws to Tutu. And then Dez had some good matchups. So it was kind of, you know, let's make sure that we're not getting sacks and getting negative plays early. But we're going to have to push the ball down the field. And that's what we tried to do there in the second half was, you know, protect some throws up and throw it deep. And it was good to see us hit two big posts in the second half.
What's the main up on the running back overlooks to show you how hard he runs the ball when he got the opportunity?
Yeah, I still think Tobias doesn't really know how good he can be. You know, he's so strong and he's fast. He's starting to see things better. He can accelerate and break tackles. As long as he doesn't hesitate, I think he can, you know, hit the hole on time and be really, really effective for us. We just kind of keep giving him carries and keep getting him the ball. And, you know, overall in spring, he had some really good scrimmages. I think he broke a long run in every scrimmage. So he has that speed that he can run through tackles and take it all the way. So it was good to see. You know, it was unfortunate that Trey didn't get to go, but that's just how it is.
As far as that, it just seems like anything that was up, I mean, it was like his routes were crisp, but he was almost like he was in fall camp mode.
Yeah, you know, he started slow in spring. I thought he got off to a slow start his first week and a half. And then we had a good talk, and he came back and just really, really worked hard. You know, worked harder on his routes, worked harder on his timing. Like I said, the thing that I think separates him a little bit from other guys is his ability to control his body, judge the football, and adjust to the football in the air. He had some great catches where, you know, some guys aren't that flexible and can't really open their hips and move their body like he can. And then he's got those great big gloves, you know, his hands are huge. So he should be a really good player for us. Yeah, I'm not really concerned. You know, Colin was out there in pregame, warming up, doing good, catching punts, you know, running with the football. He came up to me and said, "Coach, I want some plays tonight." So he's doing good, and he's working extremely hard. Our strength staff and training staff have done a nice job with him. He's slimmed up. He's reduced his body fat. Day's doing well. He's going to be in really good shape. Trey Smith had a really good spring, and then Tobias is doing a nice job. The Berkeley kid had a really good spring. You know, it's great to see him, and he kind of stood out in testing. He had a great testing week and showed speed, you know, ran a way better 40 than I thought he would, and he just keeps getting better. And then we are going to need, you know, some help from the two guys we have coming in. They're both extremely explosive and faster than what we have on the field right now, but they got a lot to learn. And, you know, it's
not just carrying the ball, it's protecting the quarterback and running routes. And so it's a, there's a lot about playing running back, but a lot of guys have been able to do it.
Some of those guys would use precaution not to put them in there.
Yeah, I mean, they have reasons not to be out there, but I think they'll be back healthy here when we get going in June.
And then just quick,
May 29th.
And you mentioned Malik Staples. Is he still running
back? Oh, yeah, Malik. Yeah, I forgot about Malik. He actually did a really nice job early in spring, and then he has a little ankle issue that he wasn't able to go tonight either. So I was impressed with some of the things he did in spring. He's big, physical, fast kid.
What did you learn about your tight end spot this spring?
I like him a lot. I think we, you know, got three guys right now that can really play. They can do different things. You know, they can line up next to the tackle and give us some power in the run game. They can line up in the backfield and play H-back and move around. They can split out and run routes and catch the ball split out. So it gives us a lot of versatility and different formations that you can use with them in the game. It was nice and fatherly, yeah. Put my arm around him, gave him a big hug. Right, Dez?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm more for coaching.
What's
going
on with the line putting down the opener?
Oh, we got a lot of things, you know. And, you know, we talked about this a little bit the other day. Is, you know, we have virtual reality that we'll put together some games and be able to go through, which is really cool. You get to look around and see the defense and see corners and, you know, a lot of film study. He'll get to run the off-season program and get everybody out there and throw and catch and, you know, get prepared and improve on his skills. I think, you know, his knowledge and his skills, those are the two things we're going to focus on.
The weather changing. I could just talk about the week and last night in the golf outing today.
Well,
it was all kind of crazy. A little bit, but it, like, just a good week.
That was a great week. You know, we had a really good week. We had good practices on Tuesday and Wednesday. Last night we had the function for the Petrino Family Foundation. That was a lot of fun. Had a great crowd. Guys had a lot of fun at the auction. Then we had two flights go off today in the golf, one at 8:30 and one at 2. So it was nice, busy, fun. And then the game, you know. A lot of people think we should keep the game on Friday night. So we'll kind of see if that's the best thing to do. And whatever the fans like and thinks the best, I think that's what we do. I know people in Louisville like when the lights go on and it's dark outside and they can do a little pregame. I like pregame.
All right, Coach.
Thank you.
You're